We back. Hello, how you doing? Happy New Year. Hope your January is bringing you everything you want it to bring. You're achieving all your goals that you set for yourself at the beginning of January, pretending that the new year isn't just an arbitrary calendar thing and actually you could change and alter your goals at any moment of any day. But I hope that you are achieving the goals that you want to achieve. We're putting on an event. I want to say this very, very quickly in case you fast forward past this intro. We are putting on an event called Hip Hop Save My Valentine. It's at Omira's, I was about to say Omira's nightclub. I'm not sure what you call those places now. It's at Omira's. I think that is actually what you do. You don't call them anything. You just call them by the name. So it's at Omira's. We've got some of the best DJs in the world playing there. We've got MK. We've got Jaguar Skills. We've got Yoda. We've got Martin Too Smooth. Hip Hop Save My Life resident DJ, of course. It goes from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. I'm hosting. What exactly hosting involves, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to try and figure it out between now and the 15th of February. It's fancy dress. So that means you come as a hip hopper of your choice or something hip hop related. Don't feel restricted, but it is fancy dress. It's going to be great. And all proceeds go to CALM, the Campaign Against Living Miserably, the charity to help prevent male suicide. So it's a great cause. We want to sell it out. I don't think it's sold out yet. And by I don't think, I know, but I wanted to sound sort of casual about it. So please do buy tickets. Martin's got the link on his Instagram. I've got the link on my Instagram. Please do come. There's an R&B room as well. So if you're thinking, I don't want to fucking spend Valentine's weekend at some hip hop club, absolute sausage fest. Absolutely not, mate. It's going to be an R&B room and shit. Plus, it's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be there till 4 a.m. It's the first time I've been somewhere till 4 a.m. for a while, I think. So we're going to see how that goes down. So please come to Hip Hop Save My Valentine. Today's episode is features a legend of the British music scene. It is Man Like Harvey from So Solid Crew. He talks a lot about what it's like to be a pioneer. He talks about his time in prison. He talks about all sorts of shit. So, you know, I don't know why I insist on summarising this before the actual thing starts. You are about to see that. It's like one of those shitty recaps after an ad break where they start talking about what you're about to see. And you just think, you know, like, fuck off, mate. Don't patronise me. I've got the attention span to actually continue watching this. Anyway, it's a great episode. It's an absolute banger. I hope you enjoy it. Take care. Oh, by the way, one thing I want to say. I will talk about this more at length. But Koji Radical, Kashmir Tears, I hadn't properly listened to this record. It's unbelievable. That's my ROM reco for this episode. Koji Radical, Kashmir Tears. It is a masterpiece. I'm going to talk about it at length in the future, but check it out. All right, bye. Enjoy. Hip Hop Save My Life. Peace out.
This is the Hip Hop Save My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello, welcome to Hip Hop Save My Life. I'm here with Rupert. How you doing, Rupert?
I'm good. We're back.
We're back. After, yeah, fucking hell. God, it's good to be back, isn't it? How was your Christmas break?
Lovely.
What'd you go up to?
Travelled around a bit.
Where'd you go?
Just tried to see every member of every family.
Of every family?
Yeah. That I'm associated with.
That you're associated with? Yeah, yeah. How many is that? What, are you in Wu-Tang or something?
14.
How many families are you associated with?
14 different families.
14 different families. Yeah. Holy
people,
shit.
People, two families.
Yeah, I see you wearing a shirt in the family tartan.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Good. Was it fun?
It was nice, yeah. Nice to do a good little road trip. Good Bristol, you, you're asking.
Yeah,
Bristol,
I like Bristol, yeah.
Suffolk.
Suffolk, I haven't got
Sussex and Kent. So a real tour.
Right. Forget, I want to get the chat out of the way,
yeah,
because we're joined by a goddamn bona fide
legend.
Legend.
Is that what you're going to say?
100%. Yeah, it is legend, what I'm going
to
say.
Who paid you?
Listen, this guy, I'm fucking buzzing to have this guy on the podcast.
Run, man.
We have got Harvey. The Harvey. He doesn't need anything else.
That's it.
Harvey, how are you, bro?
I'm right. I'm like Madonna. I don't need no
sound. No, I didn't need that. I wish I'd done that myself, actually. Just Ranga Nathan. In fact,
what
I'm getting...
What would it be?
Just Ranga?
Ranga, yeah.
MC Ranga from...
Just not even MC.
He told me some dark yeah. secrets yeah. about his rap battling days.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
Yeah.
MC Ranga from the Manor.
Yeah, that was bad. That was a bad look for me. How are you, mate? You good?
I'm very well, mate.
Thank you
well.
So much for joining us, man.
Anytime, bro.
Like, we first met on Judge Romesh, didn't we?
Correct.
And I told you at the time, the producer, the exec producer, because I had a little in it when I was doing the thing, and I got up and I was like shouting at the courtroom to show respect to you and Romeo, because like you guys are like pioneers. Do you know what I mean? And like you changed music in this country. Do you know what I mean? Like you paved the way, and I think you always have to respect people that have done that. So I was like saying to the courtroom, "Scott, you're so solid. What are you doing?" And then he was in my ear going, "Romeo, you're making a prick of yourself. Like, sit down. What are you doing?" Nobody's got to.
If it was a hip hop concert, bless him.
Yeah. What was the case for those that don't know?
So Harvey and Romeo were disputing who originally came up with the 2 multiplied by 10 plus 1.
Oh, yeah.
It was Romeo Dunn, wasn't it?
But you turned it to Ramesh Dunn by the time we finished your show. We're trying to get copyright on that now, yeah.
But Romeo Dunn, Harvey was saying that he came up with that. And then Romeo came in and stole the bar.
Who won the case?
He gave it to Romeo, didn't he?
Yeah. No, because it.
He loved him. He loved Romeo.
No, hold on. Everybody loved
him. He loved his voice.
His voice is unbelievable. Very even as we're talking, I can't even hear his voice. Talking about his voice is getting me aroused. No.
I can't even hear silence for like a minute.
Yeah, it's like a few seconds silence for Romeo.
Whoa, great.
You did an event recently, and like Stormzy came through, and like you had. Because what I wanted to ask you about, actually, is that, you know, as we sort of alluded to when we were talking about Judge Romesh, is that I think there was nothing like So Solid in this country
before
you guys came through. And, you know, I sometimes wonder about the mentality of you guys, because it was so different what you did, and you totally changed what was going on. And obviously it paved the way for people that came after you.
Yeah.
And obviously now grime and UK hip hop and all that sort of stuff is massive. Like, it's amazing. I don't think people could have dreamed of how big it was going to be as it is now, right? It's incredible. And Stormzy, to be the mainstream sort of megastar, even he said in that Wiley send, didn't he? The only thing bigger than me last year was Brexit.
Brexit, right? Amazing. Love that line.
Yeah, yeah. And it's true. Yeah. You go, that's not even a brag, mate. I think that, like, because I thought it was really nice seeing Stormzy there.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, to me, I thought something to myself, so that's somebody who's currently on top, who's showing respect to people that came before him. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel like you've got the respect and you've got the recognition that you truly deserve for what you did? I mean, obviously, when you started, you weren't coming into it going, you know, this, we're the pioneers.
You're just doing what
you're doing. Yeah,
like, you're just getting on with it at the time.
Yeah.
But obviously now, within the last, I'd say, obviously, of course, I know the impact of it. Because I know that impact that it's had on people's lives. I know the impact when people come up to me in petrol stations or I'm just shopping with my family. But it's only now, that, like, probably the last, I'd say, the last 5 years I've realised, right, we're legends in this. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm 40, I've been through a lot. And you've been through a 24-year career.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the ups and downs that I've been through with them boys? And then obviously seeing what we've, the platform that we set up for the new artists now, they can only show respect.
Yeah.
I can actually say no artist has ever been disrespectful.
Right.
Or tried to act like they're on our level.
Yeah.
Because there's only one So Solid, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, all the risks that we took, all the, you know, the court cases, all the mad things that you've seen, that the negativity that followed So Solid, as well as the positivity, it was all worth it now.
Yeah.
When I see that we have an industry and we have an industry that is on par now with America.
Yeah.
If anything, people are more interested in our country now more than the Americans. Because I think American rap in its current climate is awful.
Yeah.
Me and you come from listening to proper rappers from, you know, Nas, Jay-Z, whoever you're talking about, the proper DJs, Funk Master Flex, whatever it is. Now it's all this ABC rapping, all this mumble. What's it? Migos, whatever that.
Little Yachty,
Uzi Vert, and all these people. Yeah. And I'm like, if you call that rapping, then mate, I need to come out of retirement, bro. Do you know what I mean? I'm used to getting a old WH Smiths, a pen and a pad, and formulating punchlines and lines that are going to make people go, people don't do that now.
Yeah.
In England, I'd say they do that. We have a lot of lyricists, you know, people like the Wileys, the Stormzy's, the Chips, the Skeptas.
Yeah.
To me, they're the elites of that generation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're elites. Yeah. These boys can spit Getz, P Money.
Yeah.
I put them
P Money, mate. I love P Money.
P Money's the most underrated.
Oh, mate. He's
underrated, listen, spitter ever.
Oh, my.
He's better than half of them.
Mate, he's a fucking megastar. I have never heard him do anything but kill a track.
Literally,
mate. He's fucking unbelievable.
Do not war with P Money. He will end you.
Yeah. And also, it's not even like he'll do 3 tracks. He'll do 75 tracks about what a prick you are.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
If it ain't fam, I'm on no one's side. I'm no one's friend, no one's guy. Said he shot boxes, look at them prices. You ain't no plug, you just no one guy. Scenes full of pricks, man, no one tries. Making shit tunes, no one buys. No one's gang, no one rides. They're all in one whip, cause no one drives. My team's scared of no one's side. No one's fake here, no one lies. No one flies, no one gets off. Round here, can't let no one slide. Told them come back, no one hides. Man try tell me his ends is hot. Oh, now I ain't seen no one fried. No one got smoked, no one died.
Sick, I think one of the best clashes was him and Getz.
Yeah.
I was like, when's this gonna end? Because they're both sick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah. P Money's so underrated. So, listen, Stormzy and my little brother, grew up together. Same area, went to the same school. Stormzy's like my little brother. When I see Stormzy out there, and I know the Stormzy that I know, that's family. Yeah, he's family to me. I don't look at him like an artist. In the early stages of his career, I helped him a lot. I don't need to go in here and tell you what I've done for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I helped him on the way. He knows what I've done. And he acknowledged that the other day when he seen me. And that was what was nice. When he ran up to me, he said, "Unks, I'll never forget when you done that for me."
Yeah.
I said, "Bro, my advice is free.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing of you." Stormzy's learned a lot in the last 3 years himself. He said to me, "Man, a lot of these dudes are faking it, Unks." I said, "I told you, bro.
Yeah.
They only want you when you can do something for them."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But now that you're the man, then you're going to see who really cares about you. Do you know what I mean? Because now everyone's going at the geezer, isn't they? Do you know what I mean? With every high comes a low.
Yeah.
So I said, just be prepared, you know?
Because it's difficult. The position he's in now, now it gets tough.
Every time you go to a new level, be prepared for a new devil.
Yeah.
That's what I told him, so.
That's a good shit.
Yeah. It's going to come, man.
Did you come up with that?
Yeah.
Just then.
It's not just then. It's obviously this thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the truth, though.
It sort of feels relevant again because we're talking currently. This feels like a bit of a departure, but like everyone's talking about Meghan Markle at the moment and the racism that she's facing, allegedly. Do you know what I mean? It's been very divisive. So Solid, when So Solid came out, you had your fair share of negative headlines and shit like that when it came out. More than your fair share, right? How did you feel about all that? Did you feel like, was that justified? Was that because that was what was surrounding it at the time? Or did you feel like there was just a vendetta because you've got a load of black kids coming through, and then with that people get nervous and there's certain connotations associated with that?
I think it's a bit of both.
Right.
Certain situations we didn't help ourselves because we had that at the time, we was kids from the streets, man, and some of the behaviour wasn't cool.
Right.
And even reflecting the other day with Mega was like, why did I do these things? Because we're all adults, family men.
Yeah.
But it's a learning curve. Who can prepare you for being in the industry? But a lot of it also too was just straight stereotyping,
right,
and racism, bro.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna focus on that card.
Yeah,
but I experienced it. I knew what it was. But when I knew I made it, I come home one day and they was talking about us in House of Commons. I was like, oh my god,
wow.
order, these boys are—they're so negative. They're no good for the younger generation. And then remember Darkus, who had Devil's Advocate.
Yeah,
he was the worst because I was like, Darkus, you are a black man.
Yeah.
You understand our struggles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why would you go on your show and hammer us? I'll never forget that. My mum was like, can you believe this guy's absolutely hammering you guys to the ground? How's it funny? He hammered us, and then 5 years later, his son ended up going to jail for drugs. Karma's a mother, isn't it? No, isn't it weird, though?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, Darkus, you should know better than that. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't easy. It was a lot of pressure, Rom. We got to understand there was no one else to share it with. There wasn't other rappers by our side.
Yeah.
We was in the charts with Robbie Williams, Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
These black boys from Battersea. Also, we got threatened by every gang in England, as well as the police being against us. So imagine, every gang wants to rob us and kill us, and now the government against us. You tell me where I go. Where do I go? Either home to me wife at the time, or the boys. We could only rely on each other.
Yeah.
All we could trust was each other because...
What was this gang thing? Because you...
it was murders, mate. You name every gang. Like, because obviously a lot of the boys... Rom, we're all individuals. I was known as a footballer in Battersea.
Yeah.
So my mum ran all the youth clubs. So everyone knows my mum in South London. I come from a good family. I was never in trouble. I was always playing football. Me and Romeo, bit of the sensible ones.
Yeah.
Mega and them, they were street kids, bro.
Yeah.
Face. They were edgy street boys. They was involved in some shit.
Right.
As youngsters. And it follows you.
Yeah.
So by the time we got famous, enemies come.
Right.
So obviously it's your local boys that you've been in beef
and then,
with.
And also now you've got something to lose, haven't
you? Exactly. So in our area, South London, you don't need to do the math. There's us from Clapham Junction. You've got Brixton, which is not an idiot area.
Yeah,
You can do the math, can't you?
Yeah.
Lewisham.
Yeah.
That was just our local problems. And the next year you're going, bro, Manchester boys are on you now. Birmingham boys are on you now. You name you. Listen, I've probably had comeuppance with every main gang in this country, bro. And it's so weird now. I probably know half of them. I'm mates with half of them now. Because we never folded.
That is mad.
But imagine that hearing, oh yeah, don't go Birmingham because that gang is on you. They want to rob you. Okay. Cool. Might as well just go Butlins again, innit, Rom? That's the only place I'm safe.
Oh yeah. My God.
So it was a lot of pressure for young boys at that time. But I would never change it because I'm so glad I went through it, because the respect now that we've got off the mainstream industry, gangsters, when I'm walking down the street, people just like, respect, bro. Like,
really, yeah?
Yeah, because they know that we've been through it. Right. You know, all of us, Rom, is this the reality of life? All of us have been stabbed. All of us have been jailed. I was the only one that never went jail. Can you believe it? And then I went bloody jail. And I was thinking, and Meg was like, how did Harvey go jail? And it wasn't even gangster what I went jail for. It was for driving on a ban. How rubbish is that? Do you know what I mean? Wait, they sent me to bloody Wormwood Scrubs 3 years ago, Rom. Can you believe it?
That's mad.
I know. They made it a right example of me, even though I won the appeal, yeah. Sent me to Wormwood Scrubs.
How long
can you
believe
it? I was there for 4 weeks. Big up Wormwood Scrubs. Yeah.
What's it like being Harvey in Wormwood Scrubs?
Mate, it's like a bad dream. It's like a bad dream. I come out, I've spoke to his dad and them are ringing, they're ringing the jail and everything to make sure I'm all right, yeah. And they're like, what is Harvey doing in Wormwood Scrubs? It was like a bad nightmare. Because I didn't think I was going to jail.
Right.
And then they
blocked that's me. Bad. So jail is bad. Jail is a surprise.
And then going in there as Harvey
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So, mate, it was an absolute. I remember when they put me on the van. It was like I said to myself, I'm going jail. And I remember one geezer's got sent down the same time as me, and he's been in there about 10 times. And he went, bruv, man, I love your song anyway, man. You have a good time in there. Like, mate, I'm not gonna have a good time in there, mate. Yeah. He was like, respect Harvey. Kept shouting through the they put you in a van, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're all in your little cubicle things on the way to jail like that. And he was another one. He just kept shouting at me through the thing. And
were you shitting yourself?
Do you know what, Rami? You go through, the first emotion is like, shit, shit, shit. People are going to try it with me every day.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that's what I would think.
Yeah, so naturally, but it's weird. Once you accept it, it's weird. You automatically turn into a warlord.
Right.
So I'm just like, let's go then, innit? Because I remember actually leaving the dock.
Yeah.
And my mum looked at me and she shouted at me through the dock and she said, son, and I wouldn't look at her because it made me upset. And my mum is the most loveliest person in the world, tough woman from Wales. Yeah. And she went, son, and I went, yes, mum. And she went, the first person that tries it with you, smash them. I went, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
And Joe, you know, gospel truth, I actually got to give a lot of respect to a lot of boys in there. A lot of people know my family, so I was well looked after in there.
Right.
I'm not going to lie, I was looked after in there. But also, the main thing about jail is be humble.
Yeah.
And you know what? I learned so many things about a lot of the boys in there. I mean, a lot of boys just wanted to know how I became successful. Once they learned that they could talk to you every day, they gave me and another guy, big up Shane in there, man. They gave me, they got us a keyboard. So me and him was making music in the cell.
Fuck off, really?
Yeah, swear down. Yeah. Because he was like a guy he's in there for a long time, but he's got a lot of respect of the screws and he's really into his producing.
Right.
So me and him became cool. Mate, I was in there with mafia people. Like, they all love me, mate. Because I was just humble. Right. Do you know what I mean? I was humble. And the key is, if you just get your nut down and keep yourself to yourself and don't go on like Charlie Big Nuts. And once they knew that, oh, he's just down to earth, man. Like, they leave you alone.
Right.
So after like 2-3 weeks, I was all right, man. I just got a job in the kitchen cooking for the jail. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So if anyone got food poisoning and scrubs, I'm sorry.
That's a mad story.
Yeah, it was weird, Rom. Like, when I came out, it was like a dream. Imagine this. I came out, I got sent a contract in jail to do Red Bull Culture Clash. You've got a message from your management, an email, because they can send this email. Oh, can you agree to do this contract? So the week I came out of jail, 4 days later, I'm on stage at the O2 in front of 20,000 people.
Jesus.
Doing Red Bull Culture Clash. All the boys was cracking up when they was like, Ashley Waters was like, what was you doing in jail, mate? What was you doing in there? Yeah? Welcome home. It's a bottle of brandy, man. It was like a bad nightmare. But I think it was God's way of waking me up, because at the same time, what I'd done was irresponsible anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
But you don't expect jail time for that, though.
Yeah, it was just because I think I had previously before drink driving on my record and they put it all together.
Right.
It was harsh. Mm. Like, it was a nightmare.
I just don't even know. I just wouldn't have the. I don't know.
A lot of mental strength, Ron.
Yeah,
Ron,
I wouldn't have it.
Ron, I'll tell you this, mate.
I'll tell you, day two, I'd be offering blowjobs left, right, and centre just to fucking survive.
Everyone's like, no, you're good.
Swear to God, I'm a strong lad, right? And I've been through some stuff. Yeah. Well, I came out.
Day two.
Yeah, can you imagine? Day two, Rom's deep throating. Day three, Rom's someone's bitch.
He's not actually being sent down.
Yeah, just visit. Just on visit.
Day four, you but yeah, still be it's mental in there. But yeah, that was an experience, mate. So yeah, bloody big joke. Can you believe it? Yeah.
So how did you end up? Because obviously you're a fan of like hip hop. Where did the So Solid sort of sound come from? Were you all, what music were you guys listening to when you sort of came out? Was it all garage and stuff or what?
Well, when we was young, we was all in reggae sounds. So Mega and Romeo's uncles owned big reggae sound systems in Battersea. And everyone knew my stepfather, God bless, who was a DJ, Sugar Ray. And he was like this the man that you'd hire to set off or do all the parties and the ends in Battersea. So all of us had a Mega Man, Harvey and Romeo. Forget everyone else in So Solid. We're Battersea boys.
Right.
All our families know each other.
Yeah.
We've grown up as kids in the same youth clubs, fighting. Me and Romeo went same school.
Yeah.
But like, literally, so the influence of the music that we was around predominantly was reggae.
Right.
If you actually listen to a lot of the lyrics, they was heavily influenced by reggae. If you listen to a lot of the melodies. But then as we got older into the rap, Jay-Z.
Right.
Nas, Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
I loved Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Like, Mysteries of the Chess Boxing, like, when I first heard that album, mate. Oh, wow.
Raw, I'ma give it to you with no trivia. Roll like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip-hop will rock and shock the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation. Weak MCs approach with slang that's dead. Them eyes are running to the wall and bang your head. I push a force, my force you're doubting. I'm making devils cower to the Caucasus Mountain.
Well, I'm a sire. But you were like, you were our Wu-Tang. Yeah.
Basically. And Mega Man to formulate that idea was absolutely genius.
Yeah.
Like, it was, because I stopped playing, well, I was still playing football semi-professionally, but I broke my ankle at Barnet. And all the lads knew I could rap, so I used to go to a pub on a Friday called the Litton Tree. And Romeo,
I know the Litton
Tree. Yeah, remember Litton Tree? Yeah. And Romeo used to pay me like 20 quid out of his money, because Romeo was like the man, all the girls loved him in the area.
Yeah.
Mega Man and Romeo. And Romeo was like, look, come down to this place and MC with me. And me and him built up a little local following in the Litton Tree in the pub, and all the girls would swarm down to watch me and him. Now, Gospel Tree gave me 25 quid. I'll never forget it. He gave me £25 and thought, oh, I've made it.
Mm.
He's paid me for talking shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then it just escalated, and a Mega Man approached me in a phone box. In Battersea, that sounds dodgy.
Yeah, there's a lot of unpacking that story.
Yeah.
Well, I was on a state, funny enough, calling a girl.
Yeah.
You know, on one of those cards.
Yeah, remember them cards? Yeah. You remember them, didn't you? The BT
Rupert,
card.
This fucking
Rupert knows, man.
Yeah.
Little BT, you know what I mean? What bird can I go and see in the end? You know, little booty call at night time. That's Gospel Truth. I've turned around and all I can see is these scary eyes just doing this. And it was Mega. Where? People are shit scared of Mega in the head.
Really, yeah.
Oh, mate. I'm not a lad to be messed about with, do you know what I mean? And he's like, but I've started this crew. And come down to the radio station, hey, can happen? I'm like, me? I said, all right, no problem, because I'm going to pick you up tomorrow. So he's picked me up. He drove me to the roughest radio station in Acre Lane.
Yeah.
Supreme FM at the time.
Yeah.
And I walked in the room, and the first person that I seen was this lad with blonde hair, looked Asian.
Yeah.
And a white kid. Who do you think that was?
Who's that?
Oxide Neutrino.
Are you serious?
Yes. Imagine that. So I've seen this skinny kid, like, with this digital voice. They was on before us. Neutrino wasn't in So Solid at the time. They was a part of a crew called Living Legends crew.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, right, this kid's dope, man. Yeah. Right. And me and him just got on, we're just always chatting, and then he left the radio station. And Mega was like, you're on now, I'm gonna give you, listen, him and Romeo was doing their thing, because I'm gonna give you the mic. And I had this one lyric that I was holding on to. When I listen to this lyric now, I'm like, that lyric was shit.
Yeah.
And I said this lyric, and them times you just have a phone in the radio station, and if the phone vibrates and pops off, it means you're popular.
Right, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Remember the Nokia phones with the faces?
Yeah.
And I've chatted this lyric, and everyone's
Rom was just checking his phone then.
Yeah, Rom's like, yeah. And he was like, who is this? Who's this guy? And Mick was like, do you want to be a part of So Solid? And I was like,
so that was like your audition, was it?
I was like, yeah. But everyone knew each other, and I was like, yeah. And then we found Asher.
Oh, it's gone off.
We just found Asher after then. Then we found Lisa, and then it all just came together and turned into one of the biggest things that's ever happened in the United Kingdom.
It's mad.
2 years later, his dad signed Oxide Neutrino. for Bound for the
Rio.
So
we should say we're joined by Harvey's manager.
Yeah, he's a legend, mate. His dad and his uncle are legends. Like, to say they was the only, you gotta understand, bro. Two Jewish guys, signing black boys from the hood.
Yeah.
No one would touch us. Everyone was shit scared. His dad and uncle said, we're going to sign Oxide Neutrino. On the back of that, Oxide Neutrino's then brought out No Good For Me.
Yeah.
They've heard it in the office. Who are these boys? Bring them in. I want to meet these boys. Then Mega's come in and played Oh No to his dad and his uncle. And they've gone, whatever this is and this movement is revolutionary. Yeah. What the hell? If I've never been seen, never heard, never happened, never occurred, I wouldn't be like my lyrical word. Oh no, that's the word. Oh no, that's the word. Never seen, never heard, never happened, never occurred, I wouldn't be like my lyrical word. Oh no, that's the word. Oh no, that's the word. Romeo's in the premises. I used to be a rapper too, but you never knew this. And if you wanna test this, gonna show you my A-double-S, then kiss this. I saw so they grew this. I bet you never knew so, so they couldn't do this. And if you wanna do this, gonna make a jump up, move your feet to this. The next, you know, all of us have started to come in, and the way they've picked us all out, he's going, well, Harvey and Romeo, they're gonna be our sweet boys. They're going to be our little thug rappers, Asher.
Yeah.
That's going to be our actor stroke rapper. Lisa Matthew's going to be the golden. The way they pieced it all together.
Really?
It's like the Avengers.
So it's like a strategy to
it. Yeah, it's like a strategy. And then
the thing I find amazing about that is, how do they know that what they're listening to isn't shit? Do you know what I mean? What I mean is, like, you know, that's what I don't understand. Like, they obviously just got something from it. That
they got
just
it.
Thought, they got it straight away.
Like, if you speak to Albert Samuels, which is Jason's uncle, you look at him and you think, the most poshest geezer in the world. But his understanding of music in it, Jason, is ridiculous. You'd be like, Albs, how did you know? And you'd be like, you know, I just knew, you know, that drum pattern. And you'd do that. That's how Albs talks. He'd be like, you know, that drum pattern. I'd be like, what do you know about drum patterns from the hood?
Yeah.
But he knew.
Yeah.
And the whole, you understand, when they brought out Bound for the Reload, Bound for the Reload was actually the first number one, and they don't get the credit they deserve.
Yeah.
It wasn't 21 Seconds. It was Bound for the Reload, Oxide Neutrino. Their second single, Albert and Dave then had a plan. They went, okay, Romeo and Mega Man and Lisa are on No Good For Me. That's how we're going to filter in So Solid.
Yeah.
So as soon as you saw No Good For Me, which was Oxide Neutrino record, that then led to Oh No.
Right.
Oh No then led to 21 Seconds. So you was gradually filtering the whole crew through.
Yeah.
To the point that when 21 Seconds come, everyone was like, oh my God, this is just, this when movement is unreal. 21 Seconds. Every lyric I do, every lyric I say, every lyric I rock, every lyric I play, every lyric I make, every lyric I break. There's always a snake when I get in my gate. Way through the tunnel. 21 Seconds and you're in trouble. Yeah, but they move on a double. When I double my cash, when I double my dough. 21 Seconds, all these gonna flow. And if I step on my toe, we're still gonna go. When I'm on a high, when I'm on a low. When I'm on a break, when I'm on a roll. Hyped up.
When you recorded 21 Seconds, did you know it was going to be what it became?
No, I was still playing semi-professional football. I was at Woking playing at the time. Megas rang me, I finished training, can you drive to EMI Studios? Funny enough, around the corner from here.
Yeah.
No problem. We got this idea, your lyrics got to be 21 seconds. Mate, I don't write in seconds, I write in bars.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that is a weird, I've never heard of that before.
In seconds, just trust me. No problem. Go in the studio. G-Man, one of the boys in our crew, has got a stopwatch. I'm arguing.
That's stressful.
It doesn't feel like this lyric should end.
Yeah.
When I'm on a high, when I'm on a low, it felt like I should carry on.
Right.
It felt like half a bar.
Yeah.
This don't seem right. No, trust me. You can go home now, Harvey. All right, lads, take care. See you soon.
Yeah.
Weirdos. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Romeo's just coming just after me and they're saying like, this is gospel truth. Something should be there. Because I just went, when I'm on a high, when I'm on a low, hype it up. I didn't say, whoa. And then Romeo went, whoa. And that led into his lyric.
Yeah.
So it was, I didn't think it was going to be that big. Anyway, weeks later, they're preparing the video. I don't have the record deal. The record deal was Mega's deal at the time. So he's bringing us into this record. We've got to go and see video directors. We've got to see these outfits. I'm seeing these leather outfits that Karen Binns has designed for us. I'm thinking, we look like American stars, bro.
Yeah.
The gloss of it. We've then shot the video. It's my first video I've ever shot. If you watch the video, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going, that's why I look so angry. Do I act angry? Do I act hard? What do I do? Next, you know, they're going to me, you and Romeo have got a fan base of women. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we're gonna work on that. And by the way, 6 weeks later, you lot are predicted to be number one. Yeah, good one, mate. Number one in what? The crime charts? Which one? Number one in what? The national charts. In your pre-sales, you've done more than Atomic Kitten. and you're going to knock them off number one. Excuse me.
That's smart.
The video then gets sent to me from the management company on a VHS. Remember that, Jay? A VHS tape. And I've put the video in and I've watched it at the time. At the time, I was with Alicia.
Yeah.
And we've watched it. And I've gone, why do I look like that? Why do I look like Jay-Z? Why does my skin look flawless?
Yeah, yeah.
And why does this video look like a movie?
Yeah, yeah. The video is fucking amazing, isn't it?
I was so baffled, Ron. I was absolutely baffled. And then we had a premiere.
Yeah.
We was the first group to do a premiere of a video in a cinema.
Which one? Leicester Square?
Yeah, Leicester Square.
How many times do you have to play that to make it worthwhile?
It got reloaded in the cinema, I swear to God, about 15 times.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it was genius. Yet again, what they done. His dad and uncle again.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what we do. People are a bit scared of you lot. So what we're going to do, because you're going to be number one anyway, we're going to invite every major person in the industry to come and watch this video at cinema. So Alex Donnelly at the time, the head of Radio 1, was there. All the big commissioners of TV was there. Mm. And they're going to meet you lot personally. And then all the commissioners walked in and they come up to me and Harvey and they're like, oh, they're nice guys. We'll work with them.
Right.
Okay. Mm. Alex Donnelly, A-list. No problem. Radio 1. Everyone just loved us. And then it all just kicked into gear. Next year, you know, another six months later, Brit Award, 2 Mobos, NME, 1 million sold, 250,000 sold in pre-sales, and it just kept on going.
How much of a head fuck was that?
It was crazy. I remember when I got my first disc. My first disc was 60,000 records on Oxide Neutrino album.
Yeah.
Oxide Neutrino went gold, 100,000. Then I got another one 2 weeks later. Then I got a platinum disc. For the single of 21 Seconds.
Yeah.
Then the album came out and then I got another platinum disc. And I just kept getting discs every minute. This postman's knocking my door. So another one. And then now we've gone platinum. We got another one last year for 2.2 million for sailing. And now we're getting another one for 5 million streams. I'm like, album's old.
Yeah, yeah.
So Omega's like, yeah, you got another 5 coming. 40 years old, mate. Why are they sending me 5 more?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a little bit that we like to call, how did you get into hip-hop?
So, you're a hip-hop fan, right? Mm-hmm. What sort of stuff are you into? I mean, I've sort of got an idea. What sort of got you into hip-hop? Because you said you come from a reggae background, and then what sort of hip-hop did you start listening to?
Funny enough, Run DMC and Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys, License to Ill, was one of the first albums I bought.
I didn't think you were going to say Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys were sick, man. Some dope ass white boys, man. Yeah, but that's probably off the back of them because I loved Adidas at the time.
Yeah,
and I used to wear when I was young trainers Adidas with no laces.
Yeah,
and I used to rub the Volkswagen sign.
Yeah,
off the
I cross. Did that. Yes, mate, I did that as well.
All these people with these missing Volkswagens.
Yeah.
And I used to do that and put it on because I couldn't afford a chain at the time.
Yeah,
I used to get some dodgy chain from
like a bike.
Manfred's in Dodderton. He used to have these plastic chains. Big up Manfred in Dodderton Estate, man. And I just used to put it on there and put the Volkswagen sign on it and think I was Run DMC.
Yeah,
that led me to Beastie Boys, and then your world just opens then, innit? We're Slick Rick.
Yeah,
Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah,
pun. There's so many. There's too many greats to name that era.
Yeah.
Because everyone of that era was a lyricist, man.
Yeah.
That Wu-Tang Clan era was just magical. Obviously, the Pac, B.I.G. era was magical. There's too many, Rom. There were so many great artists.
Yeah. Do you think that because of the time they came out, or do you think that because it's true? Because, like, there's an argument that, like, you know, have you read this thing about apparently whatever music you listen to between the ages of 16 to 24 is like will stay with you forever, and that's always going to be a favourite. Do you know what I mean? And you always, that's your most receptive sort of music wise. Do you think that, do you feel like hip hop has declined?
Yeah.
But like, there's people like Kendrick and J. Cole and people like that. Do you not think that hip hop still got? I mean, I don't have an opinion. There's no right or wrong answer. But
there's not. But you've got to think to yourself, Rom. Look how many artists of our era that me and you listen to that are named. There was hundreds, bro.
Yeah.
You can even talk about the women. MC Light.
Yeah.
I could go into women that could spit bars that were sick. Even Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Away from her singing, the girl could rap too.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So I could name so many people. Rom, when you've just named two people.
Yeah.
Two, they're the only elites, because that's why we gravitate to Kendrick and J. Cole, because we're like, oh, they're actually lyricists.
Yeah.
We went to Devon, me and Mr. the kids the other day, and we just listened to J. Cole the whole way there, and I was like, this guy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Thank God for lyrics, and thank God for him, and thank God for someone testing themselves, thank God for someone bringing back punchlines, real stories.
Yeah.
And yeah, you say from 16 to 24, it stays with you, but that was a hell of a lot of lyricists we were listening to.
Yes, I know.
So now our kids are going to grow up going, yeah, man, Little Yachty, are you taking the piss? No, let's be honest. Walk it, like a, tuck it. Walk it, like, they're the hooks that our kids are going to remember.
I know.
My kids ain't listening to that shit in the house. They can listen to it, like, for a moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I like? My two-year-old daughter is now listening to Teyana Taylor, who signed to Kanye West, because she's a sick singer.
Yeah.
My daughter loves Rose in Harlem. I was like, yes.
Been through more than a little bit, been through more than a little bit, but I ain't calling no names out, no free promotion. Nah, I ain't late, I don't do due dates. No sneak diss, no sneak shit, that's just how I was raised. Had to get it out the soil, I've been down, I've been loyal. When you really hold it down, niggas ain't he really down for ya. Oh no, what a shame, 10 years in a game. Niggas like you ain't hot, you ain't pop, yes up with you and yay.
So all I do around the house, we just play all the old school stuff.
Right.
My missus loves Nas.
Yeah.
So we're always banging old school around the house. So hopefully I can make my children have some understanding.
Yeah.
My 11-year-old, Billie Eilish.
Right.
We went to New York the other day. My missus was like, what does Angel want for Christmas? She wants a Billie Eilish hoodie and woolly hat from H&M. I had to buy it. It hurt me swiping my credit card.
Yeah.
So I went, who is this girl? I Googled her and my heart hurt me.
She's writing a new Bond theme.
She's doing the new Bond shit.
You got to be winding me up.
I'm not winding you up. It's just been announced. Yesterday, the day before.
I said, this is what the world's turned to.
So use it, okay.
I know.
Yeah, my kids love that song.
So your kids are influenced by this girl too.
Yeah, they love
when
it.
I bought my girl, my little daughter, this hoodie, her face, oh my God, you would have thought she won the lottery. Dad, thank you. Billy, she put it on that second. I was like, this girl's influence is thing. But when I heard her stuff, I was like, man, this ain't music, man. Man, this ain't music. Listen, I respect singers, bro. I love all sorts. Listen, I used to love Pavarotti. I used to love Russell Watson, Andrea Bocelli. I listened to all.
Did you ever think he was going to say that?
No, not Watson, but
I listened to everything. Mate, I loved R.E.M.
Shut up.
I loved R.E.M.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with R.E.M.
Night Swimming.
I didn't expect Harvey. Night Swimming, is that
a good tune?
That's me in the corner.
I don't like that one.
That's me in the spot. Like, but you know what? He was a lyricist.
You made it sound better.
Did you? I never thought we'd hear that.
Everybody hurts.
Let's hear a Russell Watson impression.
Yeah. That's what
Russell's hard. Do you know what's mad? I actually done a song with him. Me and Mel C from
Spice
Girls. I done a remix.
Yeah.
Because they done like a four to the floor remix. And that was his dad again. Russell Watson. I was like, what? I said, but he does opera. And his dad said, just think of the publishing. I said, okay, where's the contract? This guy sells millions. Yeah, his music's weird, man.
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm more listening, I was actually saying it today. I listen to more British stuff.
Yeah. So what British stuff you listen to?
I love Kano's last album.
Kano is
former guest.
You went to his concert too, didn't you?
Mate, I'm going again. I'm going to the drum shit gig.
Yeah.
I'm turn up this
and like, they said that the album didn't even do well. That's when you know.
What are you talking about?
Sales-wise,
the
album didn't do fantastic. But you know what? That's because it's a lost generation. They don't even appreciate Kano. That album, Made in the Manner it wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, funny enough, I ended up doing a show in Dubai, and I bumped into Kojo Funds.
Yeah.
And Kojo done the big single with him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Kojo, me and Kojo were sitting on the beach in Dubai, and he said, Harvey, do you know what that means for me to work with him? He goes, I remember listening to you lot and me obviously going to Kane and getting my, asking my cousin to give him a demo when I was like 12 years old. And next you know, he's ringing me to do a hook for him.
I was in the ends when Kenny from Network was buying out Benz. So now it's high end when I got nice spend. Climatized, yes, no shine to my neck, but the stripes are my crepes, so drug dealer-esque. You can smell the East on me, like pink Ralphs and Versace blue jeans on me. I told my cousin, don't worry, I got peas on me. We fuck club up, then flee the scene.
Drag everyone respects Kano. Kano is...
That gig.
Yeah, I looked epic. Because remember, I was there the week after doing the Garage Classical.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about it, yeah.
And I was like... This guy is weird because you would think Kano's gone off the radar.
Because but he
puts on a concert, 5,000 people at the Albert Hall.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I know. He's acquired legendary status. I mean, like those people, they have a reverence for him. Do you know what I mean? And also, like when we had him on the podcast, he's like about artistry. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like he doesn't want his music to be disposable. He thinks very carefully about how he makes his records, do you know what I mean? It's like he wants these things to last, and that's why he was gone for a while, because he had no creative motivation to make music, do you know what I mean? So, and that's somebody that's like, you know, because you could have easily just thought, just shout out an album every year, just like, do you know what I mean? But he didn't
want to
do
that.
Smart boy. Yeah, it's like
amazing.
And
you've got to think that, you know, this is the boy that, when I first found out he got Top Boy with Ashley, my bandmate,
yeah.
I was like, Ash, Kano? This is exactly what Ashley said to me. Harvey, trust me, this boy can act.
Yeah.
You sure? Brother, same thing again. Artistry, how serious he takes it.
Mm.
Now, the last Top Boy that's just come out,
yeah.
If they don't give Kano a BAFTA,
I know.
I'm leaving, isn't it? I'm leaving the country.
But it's funny.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's funny that, because I actually started filming them at that point.
Yeah, this is the first ever.
Right. Because there's nothing about, no disrespect to Kano, but there's nothing about what I'd seen in any of his videos or anything that would suggest
he's an actor.
That he's going to be that good.
No.
It's crazy.
That's why I was, when I first found out he got cast, remember, I'm finding out first hand because that's my best mate leading it. And now I'm like, wow, a man that takes his, you know, his craft seriously.
Yeah.
He analyzes everything. And that's what I think all great artists do. Even with the So Solid stuff, the way we formulate everything, it's a bunch of geniuses, man.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That's why we're so strong together. Like, you know, me and Mega was discussing it. We'd done a show in Birmingham on Saturday, and he went, I've accepted everyone's roles. And I said the same thing. I've said, I've accepted everyone's roles with So Solid. And the minute you accept everyone's roles, you realize how powerful you all are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because Meg would be like, there's certain things I can't do that Harvey can do.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that Mega Man can do that Harvey can't do, Romeo or Lisa. But it all makes So Solid.
Yeah.
But it all comes from the same cloth. Because there's something that we do share, and that's talent.
Yeah.
That's musical talent. That's why it's hitting people now. They go in, nah, these guys are real.
Well, it feels like you've had a resurgence, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because, not to say that people weren't. Obviously, everybody knew who you were.
Yeah.
But it feels like...
There was a dark hour.
Yeah, you've come into the public conscience again. Do you know what I mean?
That's
it's felt like you've gone away for a while. Do you know what I mean?
So. Now it's madness. I can't go anywhere. I'm like, it's always been like that anyway. You'd say the mainstream faces, the ones that get it a lot, is probably, me, Romeo and Asher.
Yeah.
Like, it's never stopped for me. Even when So Solid wasn't popping and we had our quiet time, I get bothered everywhere, bro.
Yeah.
Someone will come up to you and... But now, it is just ridiculous. Like, I was flying to New York. I get to the airport. The security guys are spudding me like, legend.
Yeah.
I was like, mate, I can have a bomb in me. They didn't even search me. They're just like, legend, don't search you. The guy's like, come through, man. This guy's a legend.
Yeah.
I was like, everywhere you go. It's crazy. So when I realise the impact now, but people are going to fully appreciate it when the movie comes out.
Mm.
You know?
When does this come out?
We're close now. We're close. And we...
So this is like this is a So Solid...
Straight out of Compton.
Officially approved. And did you guys write it, or how did it come about?
So we got a writer on it, and then what happens is, you see, this one is so old school. We got a writer to write the first 99 pages, and then we kept it real. It wasn't like, we're not going to meet up in Soho House or Shoreditch House. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go and meet up in one of the council estates.
Yeah, fuck, that's what Rupert would do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what gangster Rupert would do, yeah. One of the council estates where we've grown up, in a community centre that's run by Mega's auntie.
Yeah.
And we sat in there, we read the script out to each other. And you got to understand, this is like, 10 characters you're trying to keep happy.
Yeah.
And we literally argued, celebrated, that should be in. No, that should be out. Because you're trying to, everyone's got different memories.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make sense of one story. But we got there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was a lot of compromise. But Mega, he was smart what he said, because he goes, look, everyone's going to have their own personal views and what they like and what they don't like. So he's like, everyone go away tonight, go home, and just email me what you like and what you don't like. And then I'll send that to the writer and we'll do another version.
That fucking writer's got a tough job in his
hands. He's got a hell of a tough job. Biggest problem is the director. Because I've got my points of view.
Yeah.
This one's got his point. I remember we got Ashley Waters in our group.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Mr. Acting God. Yeah, yeah. And he fucking analyses everything. And he's like, he knows every director because he's worked with him, innit?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Can you imagine, like, no, he shouldn't direct it because he ain't done that. And I'm like, we should have him. And I love people like Jim Sheridan, who directed Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
Because he goes into the roots of it. Like he said, before he directed Get Rich or Die Trying, he lived in Southside Jamaica, Queens for 6 months just to absorb how 50 Cent grew up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why? You're minted. You're from Ireland. You're old white. Like, so he lived there.
Just say you did it.
Do you know what I mean?
You have to actually do it. Yeah.
He went into like all the places that 50 used to go in as a kid. So went and talked to the local drug dealers on the corner. Like, what the fuck? Like, lucky he came home. But to understand So Solid and everything, you have to go to visit Battersea.
Yeah.
Because if I took you Battersea right now, you're going to be like, I get it.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, everyone just treats you normal. You'd go there now and you'd see Mega just sitting outside the chicken shop just eating his food with his brother. Because we always go home.
Really?
No matter that all the boys still, I live in Windsor.
Yeah.
All the boys live out, you know, in their lovely houses. But everyone comes home. The other day we had a meeting there and we just went to Spa, you know, having a chat. And then you just see like me, Mega and Romeo just walking through the estate and all the like normal, like, you right, Junior?
Yeah.
Because that's what people know me as in Battersea. Mega man, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Romeo, Marvin. Hmm. Yes, Dwayne, how's your mum? Yeah, you right? You right, Sandra? It's so normal. There's no superstars in our area.
Yeah.
Literally. Everyone treats you exactly the same. And
yeah.
I think you have to absorb what we're growing around, absorb how lucky we are all to be alive.
Yeah.
Because it was dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I said, after, you know, some of us had been stabbed, some of us had been shot. Ash got stabbed in his neck. I got stabbed in my neck. It's real shit.
Yeah.
Bro. But we lived to tell the tale and we got through it. And it's more kind of guiding the new kids now.
You've just done this celebrity MMA thing. Mm. Well, now, I didn't know you were doing this. Why would I know? But what I mean is that I had no idea. And then when I first found out, it was when I was on your looking at your Instagram, and suddenly I see you absolutely kicking the shit out of Dapper Laughs. And I thought it was like a setup, because I just thought, first, there's so much to unpack there. First of all, how are Harvey and Dapper Laughs in the same room?
Mm.
Right. Secondly, why is Harvey kicking the shit out of him? Thirdly, this seems like an official like event. I just couldn't fucking believe it. So what is this?
Well, my management got approached probably about 6 months ago by Fame MMA. Fame MMA actually originates from Poland.
Right.
So it's massive in Poland. They get all the Polish celebrities.
Yeah.
And they go and have a big tear up. But everything's under proper regulations. Like I said, you're fighting with no headgear.
Yeah.
You've got to have MRI scans.
Before and after.
During the match.
Full blood scans, everything. It's like you're Conor McGregor for like 10 weeks, literally. And then I knew that they was kind of coming over to UK to do the Fame MMA UK.
Right.
And then they approached me.
Yeah, didn't approach me, weirdly.
I know, anyway. Funny enough.
Yeah,
series two.
Yeah, maybe because
I have you down as a warrior.
They didn't think episode one should feature a fat man having a heart attack 30 seconds into the bout.
I can't deal with you, you know. They started. And I agreed to it. Once the check was right, mate, I agreed. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not doing that for free because it was a gospel truth. I boxed, but that's the hardest thing I've ever done in terms of like mentally. Like literally had to sacrifice everything. No drinking, no social smoking.
But you're in good nick, aren't you? Like you do look after yourself.
Yeah.
And like you play football and like you're a good footballer.
Yeah, I was a pro, yeah.
So. Yeah, and I've seen you, like, you put up videos every now and again of you training and shit like that. So you don't mess about.
Nah,
so you're already going into it with a bit... I mean, I don't know what Dapper Laughs' training regime is, but I imagine there was more of a lifestyle change for him than there would have been for
you. It was, because he had to make weight. Because if you don't make weight, I get his purse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's that serious. They don't mess about. So he had to be under 83.
Right.
Under 83 kilos. So it was serious. We had weigh-ins the day... The day of the event, there was a lad from one of them, Geordie Shore, and the lad couldn't make weight. He had to go in the sauna for like 6 hours. Poor kid come out, he was dehydrated.
Horrible prep.
He had bottles every hand over him. I was thinking, this is serious. But I was comfortable. Training ain't a mystery to me. For Dapper, like I said, he's got a lot of issues anyway mentally, and right. So I think mentally it done very well for him. Mm. Even though I smashed him up, I still think.
Yeah, it didn't feel like you were sort of considering that, because there's a bit. I mean, you talk very generously about him now, but if you've seen the video, it looks like you're trying to stove his head in. Honestly, it looks like the end of an episode of The Sopranos.
I feel guilty now.
Where can you watch this?
It's on my Instagram. Yeah. It's on YouTube forever.
Right. Yeah. So what's the emotion? Because at that point, you know the fight's won, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you're just kicking seven shades of shit out of him.
Well, the thing is, once there's with MMA, it's not like boxing. You know what I mean? It's either points or a knockout. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? People don't have submissions in
boxing.
There's
no Queensbury rules.
Well, exactly. So I just literally said to myself, look. Once I flipped him over and I got on top of him, yeah. I said, mate, you're not getting up, bruv. I ain't had a beer for 10 weeks, mate. So yeah. It was more me thinking about having a Peroni in the bar, really. I thought I'm going to smash you so I can get in the bar as quick as possible.
How well did you two know each other?
Very well. We actually live 5 miles apart.
Right.
So me and Dapple drink in the same pub.
Right.
So we'd meet up, have a drink, and even our coaches knew each other.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? That's how...
It does beg the question what you would have done to a stranger. Because you're good friends with him.
Yeah, I know.
What did he say afterwards?
He was all right after. I think the only thing that kind of...
That must have hurt.
I'll tell you what actually hurt me was...
Hurt you?
No.
What the fuck about you?
This killed me. So after the fight, I'm upstairs. My daughter's FaceTime me. All my boys are watching it on pay-per-view. And they're all like, yeah, you killed him. Did not expect any less. And next thing you know, at the time, my hand's fractured. So I've got all claret over me. I think the claret's come from Dapper.
Yeah.
My hand's hanging out. It's an absolute nightmare. So I've gone to the doctor. I need a shower. I just need to cool my body down and... just relax. So as I've gone down to the shower, Dapper's dressing room is below mine. I've walked out the dressing room and he's on the phone to his wife, and his wife's crying. Like, it made me feel terrible.
Oh, Jesus.
Because that's someone's husband, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
So as I said, my missus was crying when I was walking out for the fight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I haven't threw no punches yet. My cousins was comforting her and all that, but that's someone cares about that person. That's someone's husband.
Yeah.
That killed me because I could hear her. He must have had his phone on loudspeaker.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, he knew you were walking past.
Yeah, yeah, what a prick.
Wait,
didn't
one
he?
Second.
What a prick. But, he said, she was just like, he was saying to her, I'm all right. He was fine. Like, we had a laugh after. But that killed me. So I thought, oh, I don't hear his missus bloody all emotional and that. Now I feel really guilty.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
So is that going to be a regular thing, MMA?
Well, it's going to be regular, MMA. But in terms of me, Rom, I've achieved a lot of things in my life. I've boxed, I've done, I never thought I'd do MMA, but I've done that now.
Well, well done for doing it, man.
Thank you, mate. It's done now. Another one ticked off the old CV.
And Dapper, we hope you're all right.
Dapper's cool, man. I spoke to him yesterday, actually, last night. Yeah, he had me in tears still. He's still a nutter, isn't he? Yeah.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Well, look, we're almost out of time. Well, I think we're out of time here, Harvey. You have been, what do you think?
Best guest ever.
I think so.
Thank you for having me.
But listen, what have you got coming up? So this film, when's this film coming out?
I don't reckon it'll be out till 2022, to be honest with you, because you've got a year to get it made. So you'll know about that, Rom. You'll be first on the list there, mate.
Thanks,
but obviously the big thing is March the 13th, the So Solid concert at the O2, Kensington Forum.
Yeah.
21 songs of a live band.
Nice.
It's 21 years of 21 seconds. And we're headlining SW4.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's... We done the photo shoot the other day. It's getting announced soon. You'll see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, man, because it's the first time... SW4 is a massive festival.
Yeah.
And it's the first time we've performed in our area, because remember, it's in Clapham Common.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be a beautiful day. We can bring our kids down, and it's just nice for everyone in our area to see us perform at home for the first time in, like, 10 years, 10, 15 years, because the police will not have So Solid in Battersea or Clapham Common. But now we're older. It's nostalgia, and... Even the fact that they've booked us.
Yeah.
I think we're on a Sunday and then Usher's the day before.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See you there.
So, yeah, good times, man. But
I'll be at So Solid, you're going to be the Usher.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. Rom, you're invited to everything, you know.
Thank you, mate. I'm coming down. Listen, Harvey, mate, it's such an honour to have you on, man. And
feeling is mutual,
you're always
mate.
Great value, so thank you so much
thank
for coming
down.
Thank
you for having
down.
Me, Rom.
Take care, man. Good luck with
thank
everything.
Thank you, brother.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.